Amen. Amen. You guys happy to be here in worship? You guys happy to be in the house of the Lord? I love that song, actually. Hopefully we can get some words to it. And I saw a lot of you kind of bopping your head to it. And it's a good upbeat song. But it is true. There is joy in this house. There should be joy in this house. Why? Because this is the house of the Lord. This house belongs to Jesus Christ. This church, New Life Fellowship, belongs to Jesus Christ. And there is no one greater, no hands greater than Jesus Christ to hold this church up. Amen, church? Amen. So we're gonna be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But you guys know how I like to read a lot of verses. We're going to continue to do that, but I'm gonna start here with Psalms 65. I just want us to remember who God is, how mighty and awesome and wonderful that He is. Psalm 65 says, "Praise awaits you, our God in Zion, to our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we are overwhelmed by sins, you forgive our transgressions. Blessed are those who choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house and your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who form the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength. You stilled the roaring of the seas and the roaring of the waves and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." Amen, church. He is the one who answers prayers. Church, He is the one who answers prayers. And listen to me, we are overwhelmed by sins, but He is the one who forgives our transgressions. That's the Jesus we serve. That's our Father in heaven who forgives our transgressions. He's amazing, church. His wonderful righteous deeds, the blessing that He gives to this church. I am filled with awe every single day. There is no better place to serve than right here. Why? Because I see God move every day. Every day. I love Wednesdays. To get to hear from you, I wish sometimes we had a little bit more. To get to hear what God is doing in each and every single person's life. Praise should be filled in the house. Rejoicing should be filled in the house. Mourning should be filled in this house. We're a family, church. A family. A family geared to our Savior in heaven. A family who should love each other, but love the Lord with all their heart. A church that doesn't lean on its own understanding, but prays to the one who has all understanding. Church, this isn't really part of my message, but I really feel the Holy Spirit. God, church, we got to pray more. We got to pray more. God's doing things here. And when we pray, God is listening to us. God's hearing our very words. And when we lift up the men and the women at the Lifehouse, the people at the meal ministry, can I tell you that God will intercede in their life? God will actually step in. Because you're willing to pray. Church, we got to be willing to pray. I love that psalm. Because it shows how powerful and how awesome that God is. He's the one that holds the whole earth in His hands. He's the one that stills the waters, that can split the sea. There is no one greater than God. There is no one more wonderful than Jesus Christ. And there is no one more wonderful to trust than the Holy Spirit that dwells inside you. Trust it, church. Trust it with all of your heart. It will never lead you astray. It's a blessing for God to give us His Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing. But this is where I want to be. Listen to me, church. Did you know we can actually please God? That's a baffling and amazing thing to me. That my imperfections, my sin in my life, but I can actually please God with the way that I live. I can actually bring a smile on God's face by the way that I live. When we live righteous and holy and pure lives, love like we should love, we can actually bring a smile to God's face. We can please Him. But if that is true, listen to me, church, the opposite must be true, that we can displease God with our life. And listen to me, church, I think there are many Christians today living lives that are displeasing to God. Displeasing to God by the sin in their life, by the way that they conduct themselves in the house of the Lord. But this is an amazing thing. We can actually please the Lord. I love that. But you can't do that without Christ. You can't please God without Christ. So praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this question. It's a deep question. Remember it. Reflect on it. But are you living a life that is pleasing to God? Would God smile at the life that you're living? Would God be happy with the way that you're living? That's a deep question. And I pray that we think about this as we go on in His Word here. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says, As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church. It is the goal of our life to please God. It should be. I love how he says this in verse 1 to the end. He says, now we ask you and urge you. I love that word. Urge you to do this more and more. We should be waking up every morning asking God, how can I please you today? What do you want me to do? How can I bring a smile on your face today? Listen to me. That's a good way to start to please the Lord. When you actually ask God, what do you want me to do that I can actually bring a smile on your face? I can actually be a sweet aroma to you. I can actually be pleasing to you. This is what we should be doing every morning when we wake up. It's a hard thing. Nothing I'm saying here this evening is an easy thing. This is a difficult thing because of the imperfections of our life. But listen to me. We can actually please God, and it should be our goal to please God. We should want to please God. It's an attitude. It's an attitude to want to please God. And in verse 2 he says, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. This isn't just coming from Paul. And just to give you a little bit of context to Thessalonians here, this is an early, early letter for Paul. But the Thessalonians were going through the ringer. They were being persecuted left and right. Did you know you can still please God in persecution? When the battles of your life, whatever it might be, you can still actually please the Lord. No matter what's going on in your life, you can still please God. And they're doing this all not by their own authority, but by the authority of the Lord Jesus. By the authority of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in the way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before. Listen to me. If you want to please God, you have to flee from sin. If you cannot please God with sin in your life, it can't happen. Why? Because God is holy. There is no one like God. He is holy, and He does not accept the sin of our life. He takes it away. Praise the Lord for that. He forgives it. He casts it as far as the east is from the west. But listen to me. With sin in our life, we have to deal with the sin before we can please God. We have to do it. We have to do it. And this is important. And I always wondered what this... And I just want to break these down for us just for a minute. It says that you should avoid sexual immorality. I always wondered, what was sexual immorality? But it's kind of an all-encompassing term. Can I tell you sexual immorality is having sex outside of marriage? Can I tell you sexual immorality is homosexuality? Bestiality? Pornography? Lots and lots of things. Paul's not leaving anything out when he says sexual immorality. That's an important thing to understand. Because living sexual and immoral lives displeases God. This is why we ought to control our bodies. But listen to me when I tell you, you can't control your bodies by yourself. See, many Christians think that they don't need God to help them with the sin of their life, to help them with temptations. But you cannot fight temptations without the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be able to control your bodies. And you can't control your bodies without Jesus Christ. And it says, in a way that is holy and honorable, you need Jesus Christ for that. Not in the passionate lust that pagans who do not know God. But listen to me, this is an important thing. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister in Christ. Listen to me, there's people in the church today taking advantage of their brothers and sisters. Well, what does that look like? Can I tell you that there's treasurers, secretaries, pastors stealing money from the church today? I think many of us can probably look through the news and see some sort of fraud in the church. And listen to me when I tell you, I think many of us even recently have seen pastors and deacons and elders, leaders, supposed to be leaders of the church, committing sexual immorality in the church, in the house of the Lord. That displeases the Lord. It's not a good thing. And I've mentioned it before, church, that sin is no joke. God doesn't take sin lightly. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're even held to a higher standard. This is why if anyone tells you that the Christian life is easy, it isn't easy. The standard's high. Why? Because God is holy. God is great. God is awesome. And he's so awesome that he knew that we couldn't meet the standard, so he sent his son Jesus Christ so that we could meet the standard. That standard's in Jesus Christ. Why? How? Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness. What's it say here in verse 3? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That's a big word. What is sanctified? It means to be made right. To continue to be made right. God continues to work with you every single day of your life. He continues to make you right when you let him. Did you hear me, church? When you let God continue to sanctify you, to make you right, wow, are you in such a good place of your life. Again, I'll say, it's not going to be always easy. But wow, does the Lord smile when you actually let him sanctify you, make you right? Can I tell you the Lord loves to do that? There's nothing the Lord loves more than to take the sin away. To actually remove the sin of your life. But you've got to let him do that. You have to let him remove the sin. It's a free gift, church. A free gift. Take it. Take that gift. We have to control our bodies. We shouldn't be taking advantage of one another. We should be looking to help a brother and sister in Christ. The world tells you it's all about self. But can I tell you that there's really nothing about self in the Word of God? It's not about you anymore. It's not about you. But the world says, do whatever you got to do to make it. Do what if you got to commit this sin, do it if it's going to put you better in the world. If you got to do this, do that, whatever it might be. But the Lord tells us to do the complete opposite. Why? Because all those other things displeases the Lord. This is the way I like to look at it. It might not be the right way to look at it. But it was so much different if I was to do something wrong and my grandparents would tell me that I did this wrong. I'm so disappointed. I remember I did something wrong and my grandma looked at me, didn't yell, didn't have to do anything. Just looked at me and I just felt shameful. She was just, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Man, that cuts deep. You ever think the Lord's disappointed in you? You ever done something, man, did I disappoint the Lord? There's been moments in my life where I thought I should share the gospel, and then after, and I didn't, and I just thought, wow, the Lord's disappointed in me. But praise the Lord, does he always seem to help me back on the right path? Amen? Does he do that in your life too? When you ask him, God, I'm sorry, I need your forgiveness, I need your help. Wow, is he so willing to put us back on the right track? There is no one like God, church. There is no one like God. But listen to me here at the end. It says, the Lord will punish all those who commit such things. We told you and warned you before. God disciplines. Praise the Lord that he disciplines. What does the word say? He disciplines those whom he loves. If you're doing something wrong, you want the Lord's discipline. It doesn't feel good. Trust me, it does not feel good. But discipline always will lead to correction. I hope if you allow it to, it will. Sometimes we need discipline. Sometimes we're just not living right. Sometimes we keep committing the same sins over and over again, and we need a whooping from God. We need to let God lay the hammer down on us. Why? To bring us back. You want to be back. You want to be in the right relationship with God. You want God to smile on your life. Verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. I love that. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. What does the word say? It says, be holy, for I am holy. You can only do that with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church. Be holy. You can do that with Christ. We have to be holy in this church. You and your own lives have to be holy. Why? Because people are looking at your life. People see your life. But when you continue to sin out in the world, when you continue to say things you shouldn't say, listen to me, people are led astray by the things you do and the things you say. And listen to me, that displeases the Lord. This is why we have to be holy, church. I once heard a pastor say this. I love this thing. It's not that God doesn't care about, God wants us to be happy, but this is deep. It's not about happiness, it's about holiness. We're so focused on happiness in our life. The world says, be happy, be happy, be happy. Again, I'll say, do whatever it takes to be happy. But God says, be holy, for I am holy. We have to be holy. We need to be holy. I hope and I pray every day that the church continues to become more holy in their life, not just pursue happiness. It's not all about happiness, because listen to me, some of the things that make us happy are not the right things. Some of the things that make us happy in our life are not the things God wants for us, are not the place that we should be in our life. I'll say this, some of our friends, they might make us happy, but they might not be great friends. You hear me, church? See, when we live holy and pure lives, it pleases God. Again, that's hard. It's hard to live pure and holy life. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible to live a holy life. Why? Well, what does the word says? For nothing is impossible with God. This is nothing about perfection, church. This has nothing to do with perfection. This has everything to do with getting our hearts and our lives right with God. Because I want God to smile on my life. I want God to be pleased with my life. I want God, when I pass on, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to actually be a champion for the Lord. A soldier, a warrior, all the things that the Bible talks about. You can only do that when we live holy and pure lives. That's important to understand, church. Let's move on. Verse 8. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instructions does not reject a human being but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord for His Holy Spirit, church. Praise the Lord, He's given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, that we can live pure lives. But listen to me, this the Word of God here is not written by man. It's written by God. So when we follow the Word of God, we can trust and rest assured that you'll live a holy life. Why? Because this isn't from man. It's from God. Obey the word. Follow the word of God. Trust in the word of God. Listen to me. This is important. If you want to live a holy life, a pure life, you have to be reading the word of God. You have to be understanding the word of God. And again, I'll say, praise the Lord for his Holy Spirit, because we can't understand the word of God without him. Again, it's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit in our life. It's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit in our life. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit never leads us astray. When you're trusting in that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit God so graciously gave to us, he'll never lead you astray. You can always make sure you're on the right path when you're following the Holy Spirit. Always make sure. Verse 9. Now about your love for one another, we do not write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as I told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of all outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. See, I have a story to tell you, and I don't know, Phil Jones, if you remember this story. But you know, Phil Jones and I, say bye to people, all those types of things out there. It's just a habit. People were going about their week, I'd say, oh, don't work too hard this week. And I remember Phil Jones looked at me and said, don't tell people that. Don't tell people that. And then I thought about it. Can I tell you that it pleases the Lord when we work hard? When we get our hands into ministry? When we get our hands into ministry, it pleases the Lord. Working hard. Can I tell you there's been times here where I'm kind of sweating now, but where I've sweated here, but it's felt good. Not always. But there's been times where it's felt good to sweat for the Lord, to work for the Lord. You ever just been ministering to somebody, praying with somebody? And maybe it did take a lot out of you, but you knew it pleased the Lord. You knew you brought a smile on the Lord's face when you sat down and you talked with somebody for 2 hours, whatever it means, about Jesus Christ, about the Lord. There's nothing like working for God. There's nothing like serving God. If you've worked in these ministries, hopefully you could say the same things. There's nothing like working for God, because it pleases him. It puts a smile on his face. But listen to me when I say this. It also, here it says, now about your love for one another. It says, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family. And it says, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Can I tell you that when we love like God loves, not like the world loves, when we love like God loves, it pleases him. It brings a smile on his face. And I hope that Paul could say the same thing about New Life Fellowship. That we love all of God's family. But then I think he would say the same thing, church. I urge you to do so more and more. Can I tell you that people need to be loved more and more? That's kind of our goal this year, is to love better, to love more and to love like Jesus. Can I tell you, I don't know if the church is doing such a great job with that. That might be my own personal opinion. But can I tell you, when we love like God loves, it changes hearts. Hearts are changed. And there's nothing greater to see a heart changed, knowing that it wasn't by you, but the Lord actually stepped down and changed that person's heart right there in front of you. Wow, does that please the Lord? When you're an open vessel for Jesus Christ, when you allow Jesus to actually be your hands and your feet. When you go and do what he calls you to do. Wow, does that bring a smile on the Lord. Wow, does that bring a smile on the Lord. We got to love better. Well, how do we please the Lord? Again, I told you we'll go through a few verses. I hope that we understand here a little bit. But Hebrews 11:6 says this. This is an interesting piece. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." How do we please God? Number one, we have to have a relationship with Him. To please the Lord, you cannot please the Lord without Jesus Christ in your life. You cannot please the Lord if you're not in Christ. You cannot please the Lord if you do not have salvation. That is the first step to please the Lord. It's the free gift that God so graciously offers. And listen to me, it's the one way to please the Lord. And people reject it. It's the one way to bring a smile on the Lord's face, but people reject it. You must have a relationship with Him. It is impossible without Christ to please the Lord. You have to have a relationship. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." That is all true, church. He does reward those who honestly seek Him. See, if you're not a believer, listen to me, earnestly seek Him in salvation. Earnestly seek Him. Number two, we must be living in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, many of us know this here, but Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." We have to be living in the Spirit. And again, I'll say that is an impossible thing without Jesus Christ. See, when we walk in the flesh, it displeases God. Well, what does that look like? When we continue to live in sin in our life, it's displeasing to God. You're not walking in the Spirit when you're living in sin. It separates us from God. It drives a big wedge between you and God. You have to take care of the sin in your life if you want to please God. You have to do it. We have to be walking in the Spirit to please the Lord. This is an important thing. Wow, do you got to trust Jesus? Wow, do you have to trust Jesus? We have to be walking in the Spirit. And listen to me, number three, we have to fear the Lord. What does that mean? What does the word say? To fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to fear the Lord. Psalms 147:11 says, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." I'll read it again. "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Fear the Lord, church. That's not a, wow, God's going to smite me every second of my life. That's not, wow, I'm so afraid of God. No, this is revering the Lord, honoring the Lord, understanding that God is God. He is powerful. He is almighty. That God does not like sin. He doesn't like when we commit sin. This is a good fear of the Lord. And I love how Jimmy puts it a lot. It's not that fear, that God is going to smite you down. It's that God might take His hand off of you. That's to fear the Lord. That's to fear the Lord. Listen to me. We have to understand that God is in charge. He's in charge of this church. He's in charge of the ministries. And listen to me, if you want to be pleasing to God, He's got to be in charge of your life. He's got to be leading your life. He's got to be at the front of your life. If you want to please God with your life, He's got to be in charge. Because listen to me, we mess up too many times. We get it wrong too many times. But we never get it wrong when we follow Jesus. You never get it wrong when you allow Jesus to work in your life. You will never get it wrong with Jesus. Can't happen. It can't happen, church. Listen to me. He's in charge. And listen, we kind of did that today. Praise Him for it. He's in charge, and praise Him for it. Lift up the name of the Lord. Extol the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Honor the Lord. Respect the Lord. Why? Because He's the Lord of your life. He's the King, and He's the Lord of your life. But when we don't let him do that, he's displeased with our life. Because you won't have a good life if you're not following Jesus Christ. The world might say it looks good. Can I tell you, there are billionaires, trillionaires that God's displeased with. People running giant ministries, small ministries that God's displeased with. Is he displeased with you? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart? And listen to me, the fourth point. When we do God's will, when we do God's will in our life, he's pleased with us. Hebrews chapter 13, I want to read it. I love this passage. I said, I got a few verses. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." Listen to me. When we ask God what he wants for our life, he's pleased with us. When we actually do what God wants in our life, he's pleased with us. What is he calling you to do, church? Are you running from it? There are many of us, probably even in this small little room, called to be missionaries, to work at the ministries, to share the gospel at our work. But we're not doing it. God's not smiling at us when he's called you to do something and you don't do it. I've been there too many times, church, to know that is very, very true. Then when God tells me to go and I say, "Not today." Wow, does that disappoint the Lord? Because can I tell you that the Lord has a perfect time for everything? He knows when you need to go and when you need to stay. But many of us are saying, "God, why don't I just tell you when I should go? God, why don't I just tell you what I want to do?" God is God. And there's no one better than him. There's no one better to put a smile on their face than God. And listen to me, most of the time, church, when we please the Lord, we're probably displeasing the world. And that's a good thing. I know it's hard sometimes, church, when you're following the Lord. And listen to me, when your family says, "We don't want you anymore." That's a hard thing. But again, I'll say it's better to please the Lord than it is to please your family. It's better to please the Lord than it is your work. It is better to please the Lord than it is the world. It's always better. Because there's no one greater than Jesus Christ. There's no one better to follow than Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Why should we live a life pleasing to the Lord? Why should we live a life? Because listen to me when I tell you, when we please the Lord, he blesses. And I don't know why we struggle with this idea of blessings. I think it's because some churches have twisted that idea. That if I do some work, then God's for sure going to bless me, going to give me some money. If I sow a seed, he's going to give me some. That's nothing. But when we please the Lord, when we put a smile on his face, he's going to bless you. It might not be the way that you think, or maybe even you want, but his blessings are always perfect, church. And they always come at the perfect time. They always come at the perfect time. That's something I've noticed here at this church. We'll be struggling for a little while. And wow, does God always seem to come through. But listen to me, he's only going to come through if we're living a life that's pleasing to him. This church has to live, has to work, to please the Lord. Not the world out there. Not people out there. Not even us. We have to please the Lord because He blesses when we do. He blesses when we do. We have to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And again, I'll say, when we do that, why should you do that? Salvation, church. Salvation. The gratitude. Why should you please the Lord? Because He saved your soul. He plucked you from the pit, and we were once destined for hell, but by His grace we're saved. Why should you please the Lord? Because He gave His only begotten Son. His only Son. For us. Why should we please the Lord? Because He gave everything for us. Where's your life at, church? Can I tell you that this church is much stronger when our lives are right with God? I want this church to be strong. I want this church to be powerful. Not by the world standards, but by God's standards. And the only way that we can be strong and powerful is if we lean and trust on the Lord. When we mess up in life, and we do mess up, church. We do mess up. We confess. We ask for forgiveness. We repent, whatever we got to do. And wow, the Lord is always so gracious, so compassionate, so loving to forgive us. And say, watch what I do. Why? Because we did something that's pleasing to Him. I don't know if you need to confess sin in your life. I have no idea what the Lord's doing tonight. No idea. But you do. You know what you got to do with God. Don't live a life that's displeasing to the Lord. Don't live a life that the Lord would look at you with disappointment. Because listen to me, there's too many believers doing that. Too many brothers and sisters in Christ doing that. But listen to me when I tell you, church, be a people that long. I love this word. Long to please the Lord. Long to put a smile on the Lord's face. So I'll ask you the question again. Are you living a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Are you living a life that Jesus Christ would smile? And when you get done with life, will He say, well done and good and faithful servant? Let's stand, church.